Kevin and I were just talking about something. As I went to pick him up, I thought of a scripture setting, and it hit me what it meant. And you know how sometimes you hear these scriptures? Remember what Jesus told the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders? He said, you neither know the scriptures or the power of God. Do you know what an offensive statement that is? Their life is in the scriptures. They read them, they translate them. The scribes, they're called scribes because their job in life was to make new copies of the scriptures. That's what they did. And so anyway, he said, you need to know the scriptures or the power of God. And I realized what he meant. See, there's two ways of approaching the Word of God. And I use the wrong one most of my life. You use God's Word to prove. But God said, except you become converted as a little child and quit trying to prove something, you use the Word to learn instead of trying to prove. I have proved doctrines or tried to prove doctrines most of my, quote, Christian life. And God doesn't honor that. And that's where the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders were. They already knew everything. You know, they didn't need anybody to teach them anything. They knew everything as far as they were concerned. So when they read the scriptures, they use it to prove. They just use it to prove. They use it to prove. And that's what's wrong with Christian society. We're set up, so we take the scriptures to prove our doctrine. And that's why we have all these different theologies, all these different doctrines in existence. Anyways, I'll sit down, but I'll be back. Wasn't Arnold Schwarzenegger today?
What?
Arnold Schwarzenegger, neither one said I'll be back.
Yes, he did. In a movie, yes.
Well, I don't know where he said it when, but
Bob said outside of movies now.
He actually said, I'll be back. He really just kind of
Well, there's a lot of wonderful and awesome things taking place, and I told Joanne this morning, I said, I thought that what is happening, it's happening. It's already happening, but I thought that what is going to happen would happen a lot earlier in my life, you know? And I'm looking at the calendar, you know, we're turning to 16, and then my birthday was in 36. So you start figuring this all up, and I realize, you know, the year has kind of slipped by somewhere. But it doesn't matter, because God will do what He's going to do, and it doesn't matter the age, it doesn't matter the circumstances, it doesn't matter what it appears to, you know, things appear to be around us. God's going to do what God's going to do. I realized something, you know, because we live in a time frame, we can look backwards, and we can tell what happened, pretty good, what's behind us. But God can see the other direction. And this is a mystery. That's hard for us to understand. That God can prophesy or have a prophet prophesy of something thousands of years to come to the minutest detail. Who is this that made all of this? Who is the God that we serve? What's He like? And we're trying to match wits with Him? Who has known the mind of the Lord that He might instruct Him? You know, it says in the Corinthians. Then it says another strange thing. It says, but we have the mind of Christ. And I said, I am not yet. That's what it said. But we have the mind of Christ. But you know what? We are finally getting to the place where we're opening up to have the mind of Christ. It says that he learned obedience by the things he suffered. That don't make sense, does it? Had Christ learned obedience by the things he suffered? Did he have to learn obedience? Well, that's what it says. He learned obedience by the things he suffered, and it says that he was there too. You know, his crying. Let's see, how does it say that? He was heard in the things that he feared, and we don't look at Christ as having fear. But that's the way it's worded. I don't know. Maybe that's not a good translation, but that's what it says in the King James. He was heard in the things that he feared. And so that gives us a humanity look at Christ. You know, we see him as a man rather versus the idea that he's an eternal deity. And, but anyway, is there anybody else that's primed? Good. I'm primed. It's just not right there.
Yeah. I was in the Bible going in our bedroom, and I heard from Matthew chapter 23, and it kind of caused me to scratch my head a little bit. I'll read just a portion of what I read. Let's see. But in chapter 23, Matthew 23, there's verse 34, and then later on down to 37. I'll read verse 34. I'll start at 5. 33. You snakes. This one he's hollering at the Pharisees and so forth. You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? Therefore, I am sending you prophets and wise men and teachers. Some of them you will kill and crucify, others you will flog in your synagogues and pursue from town to town. Goes on. And then later on it says, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. I'm reading from the NIV. Anyway, if I believed in the Trinity, if I believed in the deity of Christ, I would say, hey, here's proof. You know, this is Jesus speaking. And he's saying, I sent you prophets, and I did these things. Pretty good argument, at least for the pre-existent Christ. Pretty good argument for, you know, the deity of Christ. Yeah, pretty good argument for the Trinity. But I suppose in a sort of a way it is. But, you know, I still sure like Keith's formulation about the truth being what God means by what God says. That, you know, that goes on in my head several times a day when but this is a funny scripture here. I was thinking about it some. You know, Jesus was a prophet. Jesus was a prophet. And what do prophets do? They give prophecies.
Yeah, that's good, John. That's good.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, very possibly, chapter 23, Matthew 23 here, is a prophecy. He is just like any other prophecy.
That's really good.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. But it seems like, the very nature of it is a prophecy. You know?
And I wonder how often that might apply to some other instances there in the Gospels too. You know, there could be instances in which, boy, Jesus sounds like he's talking as God to me. Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know that we'd ever make that accusation regarding Joanne Dunn when she's giving a prophecy. I know. Maybe we would. Maybe. I think the first time, you know, when I first started coming to this church, you know, I'd hear these, you know, these things, you know, prophecies. And I would, you know, I think they are kind of claiming that's God talking. You know, I think that's what's going on. I'm not sure. But and I thought that was pretty odd. I must say, what was coming was really good, so I didn't have a fault, you know. But anyway, well, you follow my point. That's very possibly when he says "I," he is being the mouthpiece of God rather than being God.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
When I go to get up, just don't watch. You know, back in Leviticus, God spoke to Moses and said, I'm going to raise up a prophet like unto you. Now, I've never looked at Moses as a prophet, but Moses is a prophet. But he said, I'm going to raise up a prophet from among the people like you, Moses. And when he comes, hear him. So could he be speaking from that? And Charlie's right in that. You know, it takes us a while before we pick stuff up. And that's why it's line upon line, precept upon precept, and here a little and there a little. That's who we are, and that's what we have to have. You know, it takes time. That's why we listen to the Scriptures. That's why we meditate on them day and night. That's why that God set that up and said, blessed is the man that does these things. So he was called the prophet.
Well, I just kind of got woke up one night thinking about the 10 virgins. Oh, gee, why am I thinking of that? You know, I don't even know where in the Bible it is right now. So I looked it up the next morning. And I'm going to read it to you. But when I read it, the lamp, think of that as the Word of God, and the oil as the Holy Spirit. And that's kind of what came to me. But think of that as I read it. At the time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish one took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself." But while they were on the way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." So when I was thinking about that, I was thinking, you know, the virgins that were wise, they relied on the oil, the Holy Spirit. The ones that weren't wise didn't really, they wanted to get it from everybody else.
Good.
And so what we need to do is rely on the Holy Spirit, have our lamps filled, and be ready.
Yeah.
I was kind of waiting for something that would maybe tie in what I had for thoughts. Yeah, and you know, it's like if God decides to send a voice out there with people, the sad part is if they don't hear you then it's so easy for them to be in that unwise virgins, you know? I mean, we may not know that at the time or whatever, but so I was over at my in-laws on Christmas Eve, and boy, I tell you, there's some things that have changed in me. I happened to be sitting, and we were finishing up eating at the table, and my one brother-in-law was talking to one of my nephews, and they were discussing, because they're both active in, you know, Christianity. And I heard him say something about, I don't know if this was the right word, determinism or something, a theory, whatever. And it was like my brother-in-law was saying, yeah, I've been kind of studying on this. And the other one says, yeah, I've heard of that too. And then my brother-in-law, I heard him say something like, well, of course, they've been discussing this for 500 years. And I thought, yeah, and if that's where you're at, you'll still be discussing it 500 years from now, and you still won't have any truth. You know, and I sat there and I never said a word. I thought, nope, this is not the time. In fact, I even got up and kind of walked off just because I just didn't want to. That is beginning to just really be a sour taste when you realize how much man wants to figure things out. And I thought, what if I would have said, do you know that one part of your intelligence won't get you into heaven? But then I just said, well, that just opened up. You know, it was just so, it was so good, because I in the past, I'd have got right in there. Wanted to show, but, you know, and it just wasn't there. And I'm it's okay, because I feel, may not be me, but somehow God's going to present this all over the world at least once, you know, and to some maybe more than once, because only He knows, you know. So it was just another really awakening as to where we've been and how far we got to go yet, you know, in a way. I mean, that's why when you think about it, when he's, you know, God has implied, I'm going to do a thing, a great thing in the end. Who would have, I mean, and if you stop now and you think about how long we've been listening and what we're finding out, that it, in a certain way, it's so simple, yet it's so hard to get the simple. You know, something can be simple, but if you're not open to it, it's just gone. It's out there. And then you find out to stay simple is a day-to-day thing, you know. And so if you think like, oh, what great thing would it be? And then you look at this. This is one of the most impossible things that could be presented to the human mankind. Mm-hmm. Oh, don't use my brain? Just let you put it in me by this unseen spirit, you know? That's a miracle. I mean, it is a miracle. And it's a simple miracle, but it's an awesome miracle. You know, I mean, it's life-changing. It's kingdom-changing, you know? And I always get brought up a little, kind of with a little fear when I come across a scripture where Jesus says, you have answered well, you are near or close to the kingdom. I'm going close. That doesn't mean you're in yet, does it? You know, and I don't want to be close, hopefully. I want to be in, you know. I want to have the kingdom. And that's, well, that's what he's trying to do, you know. And you know, when you pick Jesus, see, he, if you think about it, he's the perfect example of what this is. You know, when you read it, and it should get read a lot more, but in Isaiah and another place, I mean, it gives a physical description of him. He is not pretty. He is not handsome. You know, it says he is marred. Well, that's got to be pretty out there. You know, I mean, it'd be like if you saw him, you'd want to kind of walk around him, probably. And he was unlearned. And, you know, Joseph, he ended up being a carpenter, you know, which, nothing against carpenters, I've been one, but it doesn't, you know, you're not a, you don't have a degree from a university to be a carpenter necessarily, although they do have schools and how you do go and get a degree kind of in carpentry. But anyway, you get the gist of it. I mean, he was ordinary. And wasn't trying to be somebody that, in fact, he kept trying to get people not to, you know, profess who he was. And all he did is listen to his father and say, fill me with the Spirit, let it teach me. And it did. And he did it perfectly. And he never had anything. Maybe two changes of clothing, you know. Never worried about where his food was coming from. I mean, didn't worry about sleep a lot. I mean, to be at that place, you know, where you're communing so closely with your father that none of that matters, that's awesome place. I mean, hopefully we can get there. I mean, I think that's where he's bringing us for a time, you know, before everything rolls up maybe. So it isn't just that he walked perfect, and it says that he was perfected. You know, that's another one when Keith was talking. There's all these little statements. Sent, perfected, you know, and anointed. Well, why would a deity need to be anointed, you know? This is your anointed servant. A servant? Yeah. Perfect servant. You know, the one I need to be exactly like, and I'm not yet. And so, not only was he perfect, but he was simple, perfect, you know? No big degrees, no acclaim other than what he brought because it was the Word. And he was so humble in it, you know? It's funny, that's starting to mean more to me when certain times he got asked things and he just didn't answer. Knowing that they would take it a certain way no matter how he answered. So he just let them do what they thought in their mind they were doing, you know. But the one thing, you know, when Pilate did ask him, are you a king? And he said, you answer correctly. For this I was sent, you know. But it's not the king like you guys all think. It's the king of this kingdom that's not of this world, you know. But he wasn't going to try to explain all that. And that's the other thing. If you bring something up in a certain group, you may get one receptive heart, and the rest of them are just going to chew you up if they can, you know. And they'll want to just throw you out, whatever. But you don't need to worry. I mean, now I'm beginning to see. I don't have to try to argue with them or present a case. I just got to reach the one that's got the ear that wants to hear. If I'm speaking for the Lord, okay? Not on my own. So if the Holy... And I love that passage. When you get brought before Him, do not meditate on what you want to say, it says. Let the Holy Spirit speak. And I like that, you know, that I'm not writing a thesis or something that I'm going to present, you know. It's going to be on the spur of the moment, and all this food, if I keep doing it and you do it, we keep taking it in, then God will let it come out and touch who He wants to touch.
Barb brought up, and then Ken expanded somewhat on it. And it's my theme, so I have to say something. And my theme is, yeah, you need this relationship, and the only way you're going to get it is spending time with him and getting to know him and being full of his spirit. I'm preaching to me because I know how poorly I fall in that. But yeah, that's the key. I don't want to just be... We're apparently all going to fall asleep when I get woke up. I want to have that oil. You know, I don't want to be the one that's going, hey, I don't have any, and he comes. Okay? But how are you going to know when you get brought before someone and you're not supposed to worry about what you're going to say? Well, if you know him, if you've been spending time with him, and you know him, and he's part of you, and you're part of him, and, you know, then it's going to go. But if you don't, it's not. And so anyway, I'm preaching to me. I need to spend more time in the Spirit with my Lord. Not that I never do, but I need to do it more.
I shared the last couple of weeks about prayer about constantly praying, and that's how what the Bible shows, that we need to be in constant prayer. And I was like, man, I don't. Then, you know, the reason why we have all these situations is because so we can be in prayer. You know, God will give us a need to prayer personally. You know, an affliction or a need of some sort. And I was, man, there's gotta be a way around it. But I cannot left it alone. And I think there is kind of a way around it. In a way, not all the way, but I just pray for others. Just pray for others. And maybe that will take, you know, that will relieve you of having afflictions. You know, that will keep you from having the need to pray for your own problems or sicknesses or whatever. The reason why I'm saying that is when Jesus prayed, well, we have the Lord's Prayer, you know, as a guide. But when he prayed in John 17, or 16, 17, he prayed for other situations. He prayed for the world, and he prayed for others. But you know, he didn't say, you know, if there's any way for this cup to, I don't have to drink this cup. So he did pray for him a little bit. But anyways, if you don't have a need, a personal need to pray for yourself, or you can't think of one, just pray for others. Mm. Just pray for others. Yeah. And other thing, in Facebook, of all places, in Facebook, I run through a scripture that I've never really seen before. And so I wanted to read it. And it's in Isaiah. And if I was, I would normally not have an argument or trying to prove anything with anybody. But if I was telling somebody that Jesus is a man and why is he a man and why he's not God, I would have plenty of scriptures that I believe that I would present to a person. You know, this is why. I mean, this is so many. There's nothing. But if that person came to me, I said, Pablo, let me read a scripture to you. If he went to Isaiah 6, no, Isaiah 9. He went to 9:6. You know, and the reason why I saw it on Facebook is because it's like a Christmas, you know. You know, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name... Okay, before that, the Gabriel, the angel, or Michael, I should know this, but comes to Mary and says, his name shall be Emmanuel. And then nobody ever called him Emmanuel, ever. So, what is going on? They call him Jesus forever. So that's my why, And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So if they came to me saying, Pablo, Isaiah 9:6, I would have nothing to answer. I'm not saying that this is going to make me believe that Jesus is God, but I would have nothing to say back at that. And I just wanted to present this, if anybody has any insight, I'd be glad to hear it.
That is funny scripture, Pablo. I think the fact that it talks about the name, it didn't say he is the Mighty Father, but his name is. And just as we are in some way named Christians or something, doesn't make us, well, maybe in that case we are something like the younger brother. But there is significance. I think the fact that the name there changes things. And I believe there would have been more significance attached to naming things back at that time and there than we kind of glide over that. But I believe there would have been significance to there being a name. What Barb brought was good. I had never made the connection between having the extra oil there and being known by Jesus. But the very... You think it through or whatever. I guess the very process of having the extra oil is to be known by him as you are doing whatever it is to gather the oil so that you'll have plenty there when you run out. That also causes him to know us. And anyway, that was good. I'm glad you brought that, Barb. That's good.
I just thought I'd read the little introduction to Joshua after what Pablo was saying. It says, the title of this book is appropriately named after its central figure, Joshua. His original name is Hoshea, Salvation. But Moses evidently changes it to Yehoshua. Yahweh is salvation. He is also called Yeshua, a shortened form of Yehoshua. This is the Hebrew equivalent of the Greek name Jesus. And I've been kind of feeling this for a long time because it always says I come in my Father's name. And God, in the Old Testament, it says, and God is our Savior. And he says, I am your Savior. Quite a few times in the Old Testament. So, if you're going to come in the name of the Father, and what was he bringing? Salvation to the world. So, the name, and of course, there was other people named Jesus too at the time. But they didn't die on the cross and they weren't resurrected by the Father, to bring the end of what would be salvation available to whosoever will hear his words, not men's words, And Paul states that, you were born again not from the words of men, but from the Word of God. That's the only way you're truly going to be born again and stay born again if you continue to hear the Word of God. Because obviously we found out we didn't have it, even though we got born again.
You know? We were getting little tidbits of stuff, and His mercy and grace was on us. He still gives the gift, you know, of the Holy Spirit. But I found out that if I'd have stayed where we were 15 years ago, my salvation was in jeopardy. You know? It really was. And thank God for mercy and grace, you know? And long suffering. I may have to sneak out a little early because Katie's coming to pick their dog up, so.
He's got a dog at his house.
Nice dog it is, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Before Ken got up, I was going to get up because what Pablo said about Emmanuel, and then they never call him Emmanuel, they call him Jesus. And then I think Charlie is totally right in that it's the name. In Matthew, when Joseph goes to sleep, you know, he's going to put Mary away, and then he goes to sleep and he has this dream. The angel tells him he's going to call him Jesus. You're going to call this child Jesus. And it's because it's exactly right what everybody said. It's all the same thing. It's the name, Emmanuel, God with us. Yahweh the Savior. Who was our Savior? Who did Yahweh, you know? Okay, so I love all that. But now I'm going to jump back to Mary being overshadowed. And I know that Ken has talked about this a lot, but it just dawned on me. Yeah, we have to be in the Spirit because we need to get overshadowed. We need to get so overshadowed with the Spirit of God. How else are we going to be born into what it is that we are supposed to be? Now we just have to do it or let it happen. I don't know. Somehow we're there.
This is good. Barb, thank you for sharing that. I hadn't made that connection, and I think it was anointed. Something Ken said that sparked something in me as he was, you know, giving God, you know, the glory for the change in him, you know. And I guess maybe this is a theme that reverberates with me, but, you know, so what's wrong with me telling someone or showing them light? Everything. I don't have light. So those of you who think you're going to show somebody something, check yourself. You don't got it. God has it. Now, if you feel compelled to do something, okay. If you're truly following God's leading. Brother Charlie brought that up by Jesus knowing pretty much everything that God knew and refused to say anything. At the exact time he was trying, he could have saved his natural life, and Jesus said, "Look, I am not going to share with you what I know from God." Why? Because God didn't tell him to. So what makes us think that when someone is off in deception that we have to share this with them?
That's good.
We can share it with them if God is telling us to. And truly, that is the dilemma, the Christian dilemma. Because if you know a little bit, you know that this is your super, and God wants every soul saved, and oh my, and you put all, and all of a sudden you go, no. That's not walking to God as a little child. Little children don't take on responsibilities. They give the responsibility to Him. It's up to God to decide whether or not His truth needs to be imparted from you at that moment. That's real work. And it's like, and it helps, I guess, you know, to be patient and long-suffering in that. But, and, you know, but it is sort of the thing, the trap we fall into all the time. Because if we truly love someone, we do not want to see them in deception. Or we do not want to see them, you know, burdened by something that's not right. But if we really, truly are following and looking for the truth, we have to give that burden back to God. It's His burden. That really kind of rubs against the natural. I've got this for you. And I go, you don't got Jack. You never had Jack. God has it. Now, God has shared it with you. And if he puts it upon your heart and He tells you, and I mean, the best thing is how many times do you think this is the time? And if you just ask yourself, God, is this the time? And you get this resounding silence. You go, oh, well, maybe not. Maybe it feels good for me. But it's not His time. And Charlie's illustration just really brought it home today. I mean, Jesus is just silent to Pilate. At the most critical time where sharing natural knowledge would have made, I mean, his life is in the balance. Now, I think he had some foretelling of what the plan was for him, but still, it's hard. And I think that's the hardest thing, and it's very hard to know. The oil is the Spirit for the truth. Glory.
You know, there's a strange scripture. It's in Hebrews 1, maybe 4. It's right in that vicinity. And it says that He obtained His name by inheritance. Well, remember when John the Baptist was born? And John was still deaf and dumb. He couldn't speak.
Zechariah.
What did I say?
John.
Yeah, Zechariah. And anyway, and so they asked Elizabeth, they said, what's his name? And she says, John. And they said, that can't be. Why? Because the firstborn son is always named after the father. So Jesus gets his name by inheritance. Explain that. Why did they call him Joseph?
Because
Joseph was his dad. And so, here's this name. Yeshua, Jehovah, Yahweh. These ones, they lost the vowels in the names. So it was anybody's guess, because they didn't want to mispronounce God's name and be guilty of, what's the word I want?
Blasphemy.
And so they left the vowels out, and they came up with a lot of different names. Well, anyway, back in Isaiah 9, where Pablo had just heard that, you know, this is a famous Christmas time reading. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, you know what? And His name shall be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, whatever else. Oh, just because somebody called Him that didn't mean He is. There's a lot of people today that call Him the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God, and He's not. You know what I'm saying? And I thought, well, but then it says He's going to be seated on the throne of David forever. And of the throne of David, that's the next verse, in verse 7. He's going to establish it forever. Of His kingdom there will be no end. And it's like, you know, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And His name shall be called the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God. You know, we got something that's a little bit funny in these verses. But you know what? The verses aren't funny. It's us that's funny.
That's right.
We got to get in our. We got to let the Holy Spirit reveal to us what is meant by it. And I tell you what, I am not in bondage to anybody that wants to argue the Trinity with me or today's existing oneness. You know why? The scriptures have made me free. There are so many scriptures, overwhelming evidence of the humanity of Jesus Christ that I don't, you can argue, people can argue all they want. It doesn't matter. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you know, there's a scripture, who was talking, somebody was up here just a minute ago, and I don't remember who said it, but it says he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him. You know what happens when you're listening and listening and listening to the scriptures? Your mind gets more stayed and more stayed and more stayed upon God. And so, what is happening? There's peace that's coming. I can feel a peace coming upon us. And it's like, I can look out, and like Joanne had this experience a while ago, and she looked at the empty pews and felt, and she said all of a sudden she could feel the voice of God speaking and saying, I did this for a reason. Some of them will be back. Their hearts are here anyway. I know a lot of people whose hearts are in this church because of the things that have happened in this church over the years. I've had the dreams. And it's not because we're great. It's not because I'm something. Because I'm not. I know what I am. You know? Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners, and I would argue with him over that. You know what I mean? It's like I can appreciate his thoughts on it, but I'm thinking maybe I was. You know? And God had mercy. I know who I am. And we better all know who we are. And the sooner we come to the realization that we're nothing and he's everything, that then we gain some understanding. But anyway.
I could have mentioned this, but I'm sorry. Anyways. Something Pablo mentioned, you know, the toughest thing that I've had to deal with relative to the great collective of human intelligence through Facebook is someone pointing out to me all the passage and all the time the scriptures put on slaves. And so, you know, someone pointed out the argument to me, well, you as a Christian, how can you believe every jot and tittle of the Bible if it has all this time that slaves are wonderful and acceptable? And that's when I realized that the salvation of my soul is not dependent upon my intellect. It is dependent upon my repentant heart and God's grace and mercy. And my point for saying that is the Bible, the Word of God as written, if you've approached in the natural, will always give you ammunition to trip you up intellectually. If you approach the Bible as the living Word of God inspired by the Holy Spirit, and you put the intellect away, he talks to your heart. And so I don't get too wrapped up with comments like, well, hey, what is this? And I go, don't know. Not sure I have an answer for that. I'm sure that I'm not responsible to have that answer. God has the answer. And he'll tell me what it is when I need to have it. Which kind of infuriates those who want to have a fight. Go. Not my time to fight this fight. I don't know. You make a good point. But I trust in God.
Yeah, sounds good, Cookie. Yeah, and we've said it a number of times. I want to say it one more time. What we need to do is eat the word, eat the word. You know, eat it. Don't have it be brain food. Have it be heart food or something. You know. Don't, and as Keith brought, don't use it to prove arguments. So my. I mean, I say that, I do it, but
But it is food. It's food. It's food. You know, it's food. And so, I got you there. No. I'm just eating it. I don't want to. I got you there about what I'm eating. That's not what I want. I've been thinking. The problem with the Trinity is that it nails down or seeks to nail down the stuff that you just can't nail down. You know?
That's good.
Yeah. Don't. And I suppose maybe we run a risk of that too. You know? Maybe we do. We start nailing it down. We got it now. It's not moving. This thing isn't moving any place because we got it. You know. That's not the way. It's a mystery. You know, these things are mysteries. And we are promised that we will understand the mystery. But I don't believe that when the mystery is revealed, we are then going to get out our hammer and nails and nail it down. Say, I got it now. Yeah. No. That's not what it's going to be. It's going to be something that we have digested. We have it. We have it. It's what we are. We are what we eat, you know. And we will have it. Well, that will be the way that we know the mystery. The mystery is revealed to us because it is what we are, what we're all about. Not that we have just the perfect formulation with exactly the right words. That won't be it.
Again, one of the biggest difficulties that exists in the church system today is not believing the Bible. And we see people carrying their Bible under their arms, you know, and walking here and there. And I'm thinking, okay, when I was a Lutheran, I carried my Bible around. And I studied Martin Luther, and I knew, you know, a lot of the things that he did, lots of the things that he did. And I was a Lutheran, a good Lutheran. And I could prove Lutheranism pretty much from the Bible. Sad. That's sad. You know what the truth is? And that's just going back to what I made, the statement I made a little earlier. Jesus told the Pharisees, the religious leaders, he said, you neither know the scriptures or the power of God. And it wasn't that they didn't have memorized the scriptures, because they did. They did not know what God meant by what he said, as Charlie brought out. They didn't have a clue. And so they'd quote the scriptures, but they were off somewhere. Their understanding was not so. And so when I was in the Lutheran church, and I thank God for what happened, because I was not an anti-Lutheran. I was not un-Lutheran. You know what I mean? When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was still Lutheran. And so the thing that happened was that curriculum that they shoved my way and wanted me to teach from. And I got called on the carpet by almost the entire Lutheran church because I refused to teach out of it. They were mad. And that was the first anointed message that I ever preached. It was about 45 minutes long, and I wish it could have been recorded because I don't remember saying any of it. But anyway, I had gotten to the point when I saw that in there that says, you know, that we no longer can accept the fallacy of the virgin birth. And when I read that, it was like being hit over the head with a hammer. And I showed Joanne and we looked at it and I told the pastor, I said, I can't teach this. You know what? Up to that point, I still was not anti the doctrine of the church. But all of a sudden, the Bible replaced that entire doctrine. And it was in an immature state, I was not anywhere near where we seem to be moving today, but in an immature state. And I said, I don't want anything to do with it. I just dropped it. And I got into the Bible, and I read it day and night. And then we began to see the signs and wonders and miracles and things of God to happen. Guess what? All these years later, one day, I'm in agony and I'm in prayer, and a voice speaks and it says, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. You can't find him in the Lutheran doctrine. You can't find him in the doctrines of the churches today. I say that very carefully, but it just, it may be found in some of them, but you know what I mean? It's basically, he's not. I've been in the assemblies, I've been in the UPC, I've been in all of these things, and it's like, you know, Clarence Rossi, that I keep mentioning all the time, he came from the United Pentecostal Church, the UPC, down in Phoenix, Arizona. And he took a look at the thing, and he says, this is years ago. He took a look at it, and he said, if this is Christianity, we don't resemble anything that was in the beginning. And that's where he was at, and that's why he got fed up, and he took off, and God kept giving him his visions. So anyway,
you don't want to see Glenn and I walking side by side.
We're all the same way. Yeah. Now, if I carry this Bible under my arm, and that's all I do with it, that's as close as it's ever going to be to my heart. But if I open this Bible and start taking in the Word, then it's going to be in my heart.
Yes, amen. That's right.
Just do
Is our machine still working?
Yep.
I was thinking Tim might get up, but Tim's working all night, so I'm not sure that he has the ability to even get out of his chair. He's on 12-hour shifts, 7 at night till 7 in the morning. So, but anyway, let's come up to the front. And God is doing a phenomenal work in Tim. I love it. I take him to work and pick him up, and I love the time we have. Need to pray for him, though. I keep saying he's on a nitpicker, but that ain't what the name of the machine he works on.
Order picker.
Order picker.
Plastic.
What, Doug? Well, I have to lean on there too, man. Otherwise, I'm.
Well, almost the end of another year, and I was sure by this time that we would be seeing the power of God come down, and people would be getting all zapped, and all kinds of things would be happening. It hasn't happened yet, but you know what? It's still going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
If God confirms the word with signs following, he's going to confirm it at some point. But you know what the problem is? It's not him, it's us. And we just need to keep getting that word in us until we're so sort of overflowing with it that, you know. I know what happened out in Seattle back in the late 60s. You know, I know what happened. I watched it. And I can relate it. It's all in relationship to the Word of God. I ate it, I drank it, I lived it, you know, and we started seeing things happen, and a lot of anointing. A lot of anointing. A lot of healings. A lot of miracles. Jerome was healed, but he wasn't the only one. We saw a lot of them. Until one day I got thinking, you know, everybody lay hands on is healed.
Mm.
And it started going to my head, and the next thing you know,
Nobody got healed.
I think great things are happening.
Yeah, she's right.
I'm not waiting for people to fall on the floor. Yeah. I already seen all that, and probably half of it was manifestation. So I think God, if you allow it, I think
I think you're right.
I've seen great healing in my life this year.
And things and
it's probably different.
It is different.
Not that it's not different that than what I'm
No, but it's a different in the new time. We don't want to. What happened in the past might not be that people are running and spinning going like before. You know what I mean?
And I stand corrected.
God is doing
a different thing, a new thing. We don't want the past thing. I would like to continue prayer for Taj. She's not getting answers.
She went to see a neurologist, and I got words that I could say about neurologists, but I won't. Forgive me. He took her off all medication because he wants to detox her, which is making it really tough on her because she can't take anything. Yeah. It's really tormenting her. Because I saw a neurologist too when I had my dizzy spell, so I kind of.
What are you doing?
All he did is give you the best guess. He admitted that's all he could do. So
really,
I think it's
healing.
A waste of a profession.
She just needs a complete healing.
She'll get better. She'll get better.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just...
But maybe...
It's hard.
It's hard when your soul...
That's right.
She'll
get
better. In bed.
Get better.
She has to have complete dark. She has to have, she can't function.
She will.
But she will. So we just pray for
a
complete healing.
Mm. Oh, I said, put the thing. I've been handy for a couple of days, and I'm having my tea, and no deer. So yeah, I do pray a lot. Pray for myself a lot, actually, and that's when I realized, pray for others. Yes. Anyways, I was like, I wish that I could believe everything that I have ever said about regarding the husband. If I could believe everything that I have spoken, and if I'll be so happy, Because I said a lot of things, in here or to people, but that doesn't mean that I'm living it. Really, I believe it. I mean, I should say I want to believe it. But there's a stretch between what you say and where you are at.
It's growing.
Anyways, I like to partake of everything that I've spoken. It does make you, make me a hypocrite in a way, when you think. It's because you're saying something.
No, I don't think it does make
you a hypocrite. If you're a hypocrite, we all are, but maybe we all are. So.
Because, I don't know what? In the eternal heavenly realm, all those things you've said and you've claimed are true, and they're there, and they're gay, and amen.
Yeah, this is just earth.
Right,
You don't want to do whatever it would take not to be a hypocrite. I'll tell you that.
Do you want to you guys stand in for a moment?
We just pray for him in a circle.
Ah, yes, Lord, great spirit. Lord, we ask, God, Jesus, that you lead Taj out of this situation. So that your hand would be upon her, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, you just take her hand and take her from where she is to where she wants to be. Oh, thank you, Lord. Just done with this stuff. Done with it, Lord. Whatever the neurologist does, or whatever. Yes, Lord. She'd be able to go on and live a good, productive life, O Lord, untroubled by all these medical issues. Oh, by your spirit, Lord. Oh, you do that work. You bless her now. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we do thank you for the what Candy said has been occurring in this church.
Yes.
She's right. She's right. She is right. And yet, your word says that your word is confirmed by signs that follow. And so we ask, oh Jesus, that we would come to a place, oh Lord, where there would be that confirmation by signs following. In your time, not our time. It's your time, Lord. That would be good, Lord. That would be good. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Joanne has to go in. They want her to have some blood work. And that's just a, not because there's a problem, but they just, you know, every 25 or 30 years or, you know.
Yeah.
Just a checkup.
They want my blood.
You know what? The Christmas time is not a good time to, you know, to have the checkups and have, you know.
Right. Is she getting her blood sugars checked?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. The
but anyway.
They got to make sure that the pills that I take are, I'm supposed to be taking them, are not taking them. I'm praying that I don't have to take them, but.
So I just wonder if we could pray for her.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You've been doing really, really good.
Thank you. Oh, by your spirit.
Yes.
Thank you. Ah, by your mercy. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Ah, you're, yes.
Yes, she came in with a little close
to me. Oh, you put her body in.
Yes,
she came in with a little close to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Somebody quoted the scripture this morning. It says, oops, I didn't turn the
screen off. Sorry.